fifth chapter, number 3. Verse number 15, Paul is writing and he says this, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth." Father, we love you today. I pray now that you'd let us be a blessing, the people of God. I pray you take the Word of God and do big things in our hearts this morning. I pray that, God, you would continue to help, protect, and bless our church. Lord, I want to pray for Sister Amy today and their family as they go through this difficult evening and in the morning. God, we pray for those that are traveling today. God, those that are sick in our church, I pray and I ask that you'd touch them in Jesus' name and help them. Help us now, I pray. And I'll be careful and honor you and give you the glory for everything you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you for standing reverencing the reading of the Word of God this morning. Now, turn with us, if you would, to Genesis chapter number 1. Let's have a little Bible study today. Hope you'll get you a pen out. And I want you to go along with me, and I want to lay some groundwork to a thought that I got out of the Word of God this week. In Genesis chapter number 1, preaching on the house of God. The house of God is so important. It's like no other house. And here as we start in our Bible in Genesis 1, I want you to notice, first of all, there was the creation of the world. Now, let me preach a few minutes and stay with me, and then I'm going to get where I need to get, and then we're going to go home. Amen? Now, Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God. He's always been. God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now watch your Bible. And the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. And God said, I want to say something this morning because He said so. God said, and because He said so, something happened, and there was light. Now, you'll notice Genesis being a book of first mention, predominantly. There's so many first mentions in the book of Genesis, but here we see God in the creation of the world. Now, watch this. God saw that the light, that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. And it's always been a difference between light and darkness. The people of God are those that are to walk in the light. The world is walking in darkness. Aren't you glad one day that the Spirit of God moved and God said something and He turned the light on your darkness? Sure am glad now we are creatures of light and not of darkness. Some of you Christians need to stay out of them dark places. If they scared to turn the lights on, you don't need to be in there. Amen. And so we see the creation of the world. Then Genesis 1:26, we see the creation of man. God said, God's got a lot to say. Let us make man in our image. Who's he talking about? Let us. He's talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. You'll notice in the beginning they were all together. God said in 1 John, God the Son, God the Father, God the Spirit, are one. They are equal. I'm going to tell you. Now, God said, let us. You say, well, where was they? Well, the Bible said that in the beginning, God, there was God. Then He said, the Spirit of God moved. There's a Spirit of God. And God said, there was the Word of God. Can I tell you, Jesus is the Word this morning. He's always brought forth living from His speaking. I'm glad that in the beginning was God. Therefore He said, let us make man in our image. We're made after the triune God. He said this, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and all them little tree huggers, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. It's a sad day when the red hat women will stand up over an oak tree to be sawed down instead of 1,000 babies killed in a day and never say a word about that. But I'm going to tell you this morning, in the beginning, God, we see the creation of the world, now the creation of man. Now notice how He made us. He said He'd make us in His image. Now, God is a triune God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So therefore, He said He would make us after His likeness. Man has a soul. The soul is the seat of your emotion. It is our affections. It is where that we become self-conscious of life. Your soul. Everybody here was born with a soul. And when you meet God, you better have your soul saved. Well, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his only soul? Now, if you lose your house, you can replace it. If you lose your car, you can replace it. You lose your money, you can work and make more. But honey, you lose your soul, that's all you got. So God created the world, then He created man. Man has a soul. It's the seat of our emotions. It's where we're self-conscious, our affections. Then God gave man a spirit. Our spirit is the part that knows. Then He gave us a body. This body is going to die. The body is separable from soul and spirit. The body tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We're going to get a new body. This body's headed on a downward slope. You young people right now, you don't know what pain is. You wait till you hit 50, 55. You get up and your shadows are bothering you in the morning. And I'm going to tell you what, you know you're hurting, friend, when your shadows are hurting. But I'm going to tell you today, this body's going to die. We're going to get a new body. We're going to... Oh, Lord. Our soul and spirit will be put in a new body. We're going to get a new body. You that die without Christ, hell will be your home. So this morning, there's the creation of the world. The creation of man. Then Genesis 2, there's the creation of marriage. There's something here I want to say. Now, the Bible said this. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field in verse 19 of Genesis 2. He said, verse 18, the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet for him. I don't like being alone. A lot of folks say, well, you need to take some time to go find yourself. I don't like what I find. Amen. I don't like being alone. I like people. I love having my wife around. You little henpecked fellers, you couldn't say amen for nothing, could you? You ought to enjoy your wife. He says it's not good to be alone. Now watch this, verse 20. Adam gave names to all the cattle, the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. Ladies, are you helping your husband? God intends you to help him out. Verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He slept. He took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, brought her to the man. Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she is taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave to his wife. They shall be one flesh. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Now I'm going to tell you something. God intended marriage to be exactly what the Bible said, between a man and a woman. There's a big difference in a man and a woman. God made a man different, made a woman different. Honey, if you don't think a woman's different, I won't go no further. They're different. Ain't amazing how them women be smiling in a minute and squalling the next. You say, "Babe, what's the matter?" "Nothing." I say, "Honey, where you want to go eat?" "Ah, wherever you want to go." I pull in. They real quiet. I said, "This ain't where you want to eat." "That's fine." I said, "Honey, why don't you tell me where you want to go?" She said, "I told you yesterday." "Yeah, but there's yesterday. Y'all get all that figured up. Come see your preacher, would you, and help me out. I can't get it all figured out." Sometimes I say, "Honey, I ain't got no crystal ball. Tell me." "I done told you, you ain't listening." I know none of y'all got them issues, but we do at the Bowman House. And so, God made man and woman different. God never intended a man to marry a man. God never intended a woman to marry a woman, nor to date a woman. I see these young couples in high school, young girls holding hands, lovers. God never intended that. See young boys dressed up funny, walking funny, talking funny. Some of you don't like it. I don't give a rip if you like it or not. You little tree huggy looking something, coloring book something. You ought to teach you young'uns what's right. And you ought to keep them in a Bible church where a man of God will preach a King James Bible to them and let them know what's right, what's wrong is still wrong in this day and this hour. I ain't never seen a pretty man. Creation of the world, the creation of man, creation of marriage, man and woman. I don't care what Hillary thinks about it. Then Genesis 3 and 1, soon as God brings this home and marriage together, look what happens. Nothing's changed today. The devil reared his head up. And let me tell you something, the devil's going to fight your home with everything he's got if you're trying to live for God and raise them babies upright. The Bible said in Genesis chapter number 3, there's the first mentioned appearance of the devil. He said this, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." Boy, ain't he subtle. You know something? If the devil... and I know who I'm preaching to because I'm one of you. But I've noticed this about the devil. If the devil jumped on my front porch and said, "Hey, your family can't go to church no more," you say, "You crazy devil, get out of here." Just what do you do? He's subtle. He gets us busy. Preoccupied and things. And now we ain't got time to go to church. We ain't got time to read our Bible. We ain't got time to pray. He's subtle. If a man, you ladies at your job, he was to come up your desk, throw your papers out on the floor and say, "Hey, I want to tear your home up." You say, "You crazy."
He'll come up and say, "You sure do look pretty this morning."
He's on over at the water fountain. What you all do is take you a paper clip and a rubber band and say, "Poof." He's subtle. He eases. He slips in. You know, if the devil appeared to me in my truck and said, "Listen, said, run off in that tree right there. Pull in that beer joint. Do something stupid. Wreck your home." Well, I've got enough sense for that. You know, I have thought this week, Brother Mike, some things the Holy Ghost ain't got to teach us not to do because we ought to have enough not sense to do them. God expects us to have some common sense. You lay with dogs, you're going to catch fleas. You play with fire, you're going to get burned. You go in the Harbor Freight store, you know what they got? They got leather aprons, head shields, gloves. You know why? They're handling fire. It's a reason for that. You tend to get burnt if you handle fire. The devil's so subtle. He just wants this a little bit at a time. Just easy. And before long, this is what happened to you. Because it has happened to me. I'm standing over here, and this is what I'm saying. What in the world? How did I get here? Subtle. And so we see the first mention of the devil. He's so subtle. And then Genesis 3 and 8, as soon as the devil appeared, we see the mention of the first sin. Eve took of the fruit that God told her not to, and the devil in Genesis 3, verse 8, look what he said. He's a talking devil. The serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die." Isn't it amazing that Satan didn't come to Adam first, but he came to the woman first? Now, there's something deep going on there. A lot of folks have heard him say, "Where was Adam at? He ought to have been seeing about his wife." Well, maybe he was out. But ladies, the devil will talk to you. Men, the devil will talk to you. Now watch. He said, "You won't surely die." Verse 6, the woman saw the tree was good for food. It's pleasant to the eyes. Our eyes are real appealing. Tree to be desired to make one wise. She took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. You know, the temptation is a visitation of sin. I got listed in my Bible right here. There's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It all gets us in trouble. Verse 7, the eyes of them both were open. They knew they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, something just happened to me and you when this happened to them. It just plunged whole mankind into depravity. It parted them from God. They sinned. Now, you know where our bloodline's from? That garden. Adam. You want to know why you got to get up and go to work every day? Adam. You know why that this body hurts, this world's a curse? Because what the devil played on them and they partook of it and they sinned and they went against the Word of God. That's why now the Bible says, listen to me, you must be born again. It's not an option. You're not going to live good one day, see if you can do good enough to go to heaven. You don't get there that way. You must be born again. Now, we see here the creation of the world, the creation of man, the creation of marriage, the appearance of the devil, then Adam's sin. And then Genesis 3:21, there's the first mention, God's sacrifice. I'm glad God had a way to get us to it. The Bible said in Genesis 3, chapter number 21, watch your Bible now. Them fig leaves didn't do it for God. The Bible said unto Adam also and to his wife, to the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now, this spoke out to me, and I don't have it on my outline, but I do want to read it before I get on preaching. Look in Genesis 3 and 9, right after this fall. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Why in the world? They'd been enjoying the presence of God all their life. But now sin had brought a barrier between them and God, and they didn't like being around God. You know why? If you're saved and if you don't want to come to church, it's sin. If you're saved and you don't enjoy the presence of God, it ain't but one thing, honey. It ain't God, it's you. There's something between you and God. Now watch. This is where the Lord rung a bell to me last night. And the Lord called unto Adam and said to him, "Where art thou?" Can I say something? Where are you in the church you go? Where are you at home? Where are you with God? Where art thou? Can I say this real kind as your preacher to be truthful enough to say to you, where are you with God? Where art thou? Where are you with God? Then there was God's sacrifice. He shed blood for the first time to clothe them with skins. Can I tell you, it started about the blood and it'll end with the blood. God sacrificed. And I want to say this morning. It was a divinely provided garment by the shedding of blood. And I'm glad through Calvary's cross today, God sent His Son. There is a divinely provided garment today through the righteousness of Christ of how He's died for the sins of the world. Genesis 4:1, watch this. First mention, the first murder in the Bible. Children were born, Adam and Eve. They were born in that sinful nature. Didn't take them long, did it? Genesis 4:1, Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived. Bare Cain said, "I've gotten the man from the Lord." I can tell you one thing, God never believed in homosexuality. Adam knew Eve, his wife, she conceived. They bore a child. Man and man do not reproduce. Woman and woman do not reproduce. She again buries brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Isn't that something, Cain and Abel? First two young'uns born now to Adam and Eve. Process of time came to pass. Don't know how long it was, but it was a process of time. Look what happens. Cain brought the fruit of the ground, offering the Lord. Abel brought the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect to Abel and his offering. But to Cain to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. Why didn't God respect the firstlings of the ground? Why didn't God take that sacrifice? It was a sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. I guarantee you, Adam and Eve had taught their children. Let me tell you something. When we sinned back there in that garden, God made a sacrifice. And if you're going to come to God, you've got to come to God by sacrificing blood. But oh my, Cain didn't want to hear it. He wanted to do it his way. Just the way the world is today. They want to come to God their way. Burger King religion. Do it their way. Have it their way. But that ain't God's way. God's got one way. That's His Son by bloody Calvary. The Lord said to Cain, "Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? Thou doest well. Shalt thou not be accepted?" Verse 7. Isn't that amazing? God wanted to save Cain. He said, "Cain, I'll accept you if you'll come my way. But if you're going to do it your way, you can't come to where I live." Cain talked with Abel his brother. Verse 8. Cain came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against and Abel his brother and slew him. Cain killed Abel. You remember that in Sunday school. The Lord said to Cain, "Where's Abel thy brother?" He said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" He said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." I want to say sin is not silent this morning. Brother Wayne Hack's here over a ministry with the children that have been aborted through this nation. I appreciate the ministry that he heads up and gives much time to him this Karen. A lot of times people think that sin go unnoticed, but let me tell you, in the eyes of God, sin don't go unnoticed. Do you see what God said? He said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" He said, "Why hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." I wonder how many little old young'uns are screaming to God this morning. Adam's sin. God's sacrifice. Children born. The first murder. Then all of a sudden, something happens we've never seen. Genesis 5. We find a man walking with God.
Isn't that amazing?
Genesis 5. Watch this. Verse 5. God means what He says. All the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and you know what? He died. You know what God told him in the garden? He said, the day you partake of it, you're going to die. Can I tell you, God's Word's going to stand when this world is a burning? He said, you're going to die. And He died. Let me tell you, God said if you reject His Son, hell will be your home. You know what? Hell will be your home. Now, something happens. Enoch walks with God all of a sudden. The Bible said in verse number 20, Genesis 5, all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God. Can I say something on the lighter side this morning? Boy, when Methuselah was born, Enoch said, I better get with God because he's gone. You know, ain't it amazing how some children make you want to walk with God? Some of y'all get that tomorrow about 4:30. And Enoch walked with God. Now, he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. Verse 24, Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. So now we find a man walking with God. Now, look in Genesis 6 and 1. Came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born in them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that were fair. They took them wives of all which they chose. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that is his flesh, and his day shall be 120 years. Verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in, the daughters of men, they bare children of them. The same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. I've got my own thought of who they were. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I'll destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man, beast, creeping things, fowls of the air, for it repented me that I've made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Isn't that an amazing thing? These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect generation. And here it is again. And Noah walked with God. Now, you say, Brother Ken, how are you preaching on the church? I said I've got to lay some groundwork. No place have you seen the house of God yet. We've seen the creation of the world, the creation of man. Man is sin. We see where the devil rose up. We see the first marriage. We see the first killing. We find a man walking with God, but we find no house of God. Now he comes to Abraham, the father of our faith. And this is what he says. Genesis 12, verse number 1. Am I doing okay preaching this morning? Say amen. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house to the land that I'll show thee, and I'll make thee a great nation. I'll bless thee, make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I'll bless them. He's talking about the nation of Israel. Now, underline this in your Bible and remember this. And I'll bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. We better stand for the nation of Israel. Because this is where the whole nation of Israel come from, is from Abraham. They're the apple of God's eye. We better protect them. We better love them. We better hold them up. God says, if you help them, I'll bless you for it. If you go against them, I'll curse you for it. He told Adam the day he sinned, he'd die. You know what? God kept His Word. God still keeps His Word. Now the call of Abraham. Still no house of God. Abraham built altars. Abraham did sacrifices. He had a nephew named Lot. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. He went and lived. Abraham went and rescued Lot, brought him back. Now another Bible character appears. Not only do we find that of Abraham, but we find his wonderful son Isaac in Genesis 22. God said, now take Isaac. Go up on Mount Moriah. What a day in Abraham's life when God told him to take his only son on a hill and kill him. Wonder what Sarah was thinking. There's a lot of women silent in the Bible. A lot of folks have said things about, I wonder what Sarah was thinking when Abraham saddled up her boy and said, I'm going to make a sacrifice. Let me tell you, a lady's very important to the man. So we find now as Abraham takes his son on the mountain, there's one of the greatest pictures of Calvary in our Bible. Abraham takes him up, and I'm going to tell you right now, Abraham was going to take his son's life. He drew the knife back. And the angel of the Lord called him to him out of heaven. He said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Boy, isn't it amazing when God calls you to do things that you don't want to do. But you ain't got to wonder if God's around or not, honey. The God that told you to do it's a God that'll go with you when you're going to do it. Ain't you glad you ain't got to go by yourself? So there's the call of Abraham, the offering of Isaac. Now, look in Genesis 26 and 12. Genesis 26 and 12. Isaac's a grown man now. He's been raised in the house of Abraham, the father of our faith. Abraham taught him the principles of God. The Bible said in Genesis 26 and 12, and Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And can I tell you, when you live in for the Lord, He'll bless you too. The man waxed great, went forward, and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions, talking about Isaac, Abraham's son now, he had possessions of flocks, herds, and a great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. The devil can't stand those that God blesses. Verse 15, wish I could preach here an hour, but y'all couldn't handle it. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. Verse 18, and Isaac digged again the wells of water. He is a digging where daddy dug. I don't know about y'all, but I want to dig where daddy dug. Notice the Philistines didn't want the water, but they didn't want nobody else to have the water. Abraham, Isaac's boy, began to dig again the wells that his daddy dug. My Lord in heaven, Brother Donald, may God allow us to dig in the wells that our fathers have dug. We don't need a new well. We got to just clean out the well. Jesus is the well that's springing up to life everlasting this morning. There's boys trying to dig wells all around this country. It ain't but one well. One way to heaven, that's Jesus this morning. Philistines has kicked things in our wells where we used to drink, we no longer drink. The well that used to satisfy, no longer satisfied. We're looking for things in the world. But I'm saving you a whole lot of heartaches and grief. Get back to the well that our father dug. Now, something happens in the Bible. I done preached 40 minutes to get right here and I ain't going to preach 5 more minutes. I know some of you are relieved. I mean, I've laid all that groundwork to get us to this one first mention in the Bible. Now, watch what happens. Isaac's cleaning out wells that his daddy dug. Isaac has 2 boys. And all of a sudden we find in Genesis chapter number 27 came to pass when Isaac was old, his eyes were dim, and he couldn't see. He called Esau, the eldest son.
There's another boy named Jacob, and you know they tricked Daddy. Read it later. I've got to get to 28 because I'm done preaching.
Now all of a sudden, Abraham's grandson, Jacob. The Bible said Isaac called Jacob, blessed him, charged him, said to him, "Thou shalt not take the wife of the daughters of Canaan. Rise, go to Padan-Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father. Take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother, and God Almighty bless thee. He'll make thee fruitful, multiply, thou mayest be a multitude of people." Verse 5, and Isaac sent away Jacob. Verse 10, Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted on a certain place. That's where I want to get. Tarried there all night. Because the sun has set, he took the stones of that place and put them for the pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest to thee I'll give it, thy seed. Thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad to the west, the east, the north, the south. In thee and all the seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with thee. I'll keep you in all places. Whither thou goest, I'll bring thee again to the land, for I'll not leave thee." Lord, that's so good. I'm fixing to read it again. "And behold, I am with thee. I will keep thee in all places. Whither thou goest, I'll bring thee again to the land, for I'll not leave thee until I've done that which I've spoken unto thee of." And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord's in this place, and I knew it not." He was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other." Here's the first mention, but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. Now watch. Jacob arose early in the morning, took the stone, and he put it for his pillars, and set up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. And he called... Do you remember my first text verse that I read 50 minutes ago? And I talked about it was the pillar and ground of truth. Well, here's this same word rises up in the Bible. He called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. Jacob vowed a vow saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me this way that I go, I'll give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I've set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." This is what I want to say about the house of God. Give me 5 minutes, I'm done preaching this morning. But out of your pastor's heart, this is what I want to say this Sunday morning about this house of God. First of all, the first mention in your Bible, you'll notice this, it is an addressed place. In verse 17, he said, "This is the house of God and it is the gate of heaven." This ought to be a place where the gate of heaven opens. There's a lot of people going to church and they never see heaven. How bad would it be? The other Sunday morning, meeting broke out. A lot of you wonder, why didn't a preacher preach? Heaven opened. It ought to be that way when we go to church. The saints of God ought to rejoice, ought to enjoy the gate of heaven. It is an address place. Number 2, verse 16, it ought to be an awakening place. In verse number 16, the Bible said, Jacob awaked out of his sleep. You know what I'm asking God to do, some of you that are asleep, that God would wake you up. The average folks is going to the old dead Baptist church this morning. Old preacher gets up. My Lord, he's scared to say anything. They looking at their watch at 12 o'clock and the deacon's going to call him in the back if he don't get past 12 o'clock. Let me tell you something. It ought to be an awakening place. It ought to be a place that your children can come and be saved by the grace of God. You that came here the first time, second time, third time, God awoke you out of your spiritual sleep
and opened your eyes to the gate of heaven.
I want to say this morning about this house of God. It was an address place, the house of God. It was an awakening place. Verse 12, it was an accessible place. There was a ladder stuck in there. And can I tell you, the top of it reached the bottom. Can I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ reaches the top this morning. It ought to be an accessible place. It ought to be a place where people can hear about the ladder called Jesus and make it to God. Because there's no other way except the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an accessible place. Verse 18, watch your Bible. It ought to be an anointed place. He poured oil on it. It ought to be hot oil running in here every now and then. I love it. Ain't it amazing? Now, ain't it amazing? Let your preacher help you. You ever notice how God does? All of a sudden, it's just sort of going to regular service. All of a sudden, you look around, everybody's just a squalling. Sister Peggy, I love it when them tears start flowing. It's like hot oil running down my face. Can you imagine going to the house of God and that never happens to you? An anointed place, a special place, a place where God moves. The house has never been intended to be a museum or a good old boys club. It's a special place where God talks to people. Oh God, help us at our church. Your young'uns is counting on this to be a church. If God don't say something to them, they'll stay asleep all their life and die and go to a devil's hell.
Verse 22, it was an acknowledged place. This stone which I've set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I'll surely give thee the tenth. Let me tell you, folks, don't believe in tithing something that you said it come with the law. Tithing come before the law was ever thought about. It's a principle.
God gives to you, you give back to God. If you want to be blessed, live according to this Bible says and give back to God. It don't work no other way.
I'm done preaching.